That was beautiful. Come on, give a cheer. Praise the Lord. Good evening, everyone. This is Thursday night. Amen. And we got to finish up what I started on Sunday. Amen. Sunday we were talking about the veil. I want to turn to John chapter 1. And I'm going to have Scott come up here and grab the mic and read till I poke him.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men.
All right. In Him was light, life. Now, we found out last Sunday, where's the life? It's in the blood. It's in the blood. And you go to Leviticus. And 17, verse 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for soul. It is all about the blood. The blood in this sense, in John, is the veil that hides the light. All right, read on.
Starting at 5. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not.
Darkness could not comprehend it. Now you understand that the darkness here came after Adam. Small. The light shineth in the darkness, but the darkness couldn't understand it, couldn't comprehend it. All right? The light was the light that lighteth man, and it came from the blood, and man still to this day cannot comprehend the blood is the life, and the blood is the light that portrays Jesus Christ. Go on.
There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world.
All right. The light of God, which is Christ, lighteth every man that cometh into the world. I mean, after all, is anybody born without blood? No. And is the blood is a shield, of a veil, if you will, that hides the fact that God has given us Himself if we but turn and look at Him. Now do not misunderstand me. I am not preaching a divine nature. There's only one divine nature, and that is God. Amen. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God. He's not two or three or four or a million. He is one God. He was a God in the beginning. He was a God in the end. He's be God. He is the God throughout all time and throughout all ages. He is the head and he is the last and the foremost, and all things that there is God, which is Jesus. His name was hidden from us. His name was hidden from his people. Amen, Brother David, keep preaching. His name was hidden behind the veil. First, the veil of the righteousness of Adam. Then when righteous Adam fell, he tried to cover up the fact that he was naked. He became naked. See? And he took a fig leaf. He took that from the ground. Because he came from the ground. So he took that which he understood. He took that which he knew. And tried to cover himself with it. But God showed him a better veil. He showed him the skin of the animals that were sacrificed for the blood that God poured out for Adam's sins. And showed Adam a testament that through this blood, Christ would come and save us all if we would believe. See, he has to light all men that comes into the world. Else, when he came, there would be no seeing. But those that would see could see the light. And those that would not see would not see the light. All those that are of God come to the light. All those that would know him come to the light. And what is it about the light? The light shines upon us and reveals all things. All things are manifest by the light. There is nothing that there is that is not made manifest by the light. You may have secrets. You may have secrets deep down in your heart. But when you come to the light, God sheds his lights down on those secrets. And now you have to either comprehend the light, that is, choose the light and repent of those acts of sin and everything else to God, or you reject it and continue with a fake veil of self-righteousness. Years ago, I preached a sermon, and I urge you to go back and find it. It's on the website, about the shields of brass and the shields of gold. Paul, you remember that sermon. You see, the shields of gold were taken from the temple. They were stolen. They were hijacked. And the king, instead of falling on his face and repenting before God and admitting his sin, had them make shields of brass. And by making the shields of brass, he could fool the people into thinking they still had their gold. Churches are still doing this today. Preachers are still doing it today. They've got shields or veils of brass that they polish up, and they go out before the people and they seek to look good. They dress up pretty. Can you see Jesus Christ in the days that he ministered walking into a synagogue looking like a Wall Street banker? Hello? No, he looked like a carpenter's son. He dressed like a carpenter's son. He didn't have to be fancy. He had what it took. But his veil hid that from the people, and they could not understand it. The darkness could not comprehend the light that was in that human form. That little baby that was born and laid in those swaddling clothes hid the Almighty God of the universe, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the one who said, let there be light, and it was so, the one who spoke all things into being, and it was so. That God laid in that little baby, hidden by the veil, until the time that the sacrifice should come to pass. And when that sacrifice came to pass, and he laid on that cross, and he gave up the ghost, that veil veil, that body was no longer needed. And that body dropped. And the veil in the temple rent in twain at that moment, signifying God was no longer in that body. He left that body. What's this mean to you? What this means to you is you have to understand and you have to seek and praise God and believe God that His blood is sufficient for you. Now it's one thing to believe God's blood is sufficient for Robin. Or we know it's sufficient for Melody, right? But, nah, it can't be sufficient for old Lisa, right? Lisa ain't got a flying chance, ain't it? Is that a bunch of crap? You know it's a bunch of crap. That blood is so powerful. I'm gonna tell you what. It to me, and I believe this to be a fact, is blasphemy. Of the worst kind to say that the blood of Jesus is insufficient to cover my sin or your sin. I don't care how bad it is. Women, well, last night we're talking about homosexuality. And I've been a proponent against homosexuality, especially in the churches, for a long time. And something that I've realized over a period of time here is that it's all sin. Homosexuality is a sin. Fornication is a sin. Amen? Dare you to say keep preaching. It's a sin. So you go out with a girl, mister, and you think that's all right. But that guy going out with a guy, oh, I'm going to tell you, in God's sight, there's no difference. There is no difference. Does that mean now that we should say it's okay to be a homosexual? God forbid. Because there's a thing about being a homosexual. When you're homosexual, it means you're turned over to it. It's not natural. As much as I hate to say it, fornication is natural. But God set up a way of doing it right, and man chooses to do it wrong. Amen? Alright, but with a homosexual, it's a choice to go against God's very nature. And everything God stands for. But sin is sin. And the sin of homosexuality can be forgiven just as easy as any other sin. The blood of Jesus is the life of God. I want you to get that. It's not the life of a lamb. It's not the life of a goat. It's not the life of a deer you went and hunted. And by the way, these people are going to drink the blood. They're cursing themselves. They're cursing themselves. God said He'll cut them off. Because that blood in that goat or in that lamb or in that bull or in that deer or whatever represents, it's a veil, it's a type and shadow of the blood of God Himself. Whew, you're quiet in here. It's the blood of God Himself. And God shed that blood for you and for me. For the whole world. I would that I could show you that I could just take the vision that God gave me in my head years ago of Jesus on the cross and the sin gathering in the clouds above him until it looked like a pitch black, slimy, sickly, gooey mess. And saw that just go down into him like water down a drain right into that body. And how the body distorted. And no more even looked human. It was distorted because of the power of that sin. But the power of the blood of Jesus was greater. Because the sin that he overcame was every sin from the beginning of the world and every sin to the end of the world and every sin in between. He took it all in himself and he paid that price. And if you can but believe, God says, it is impossible to please God except by faith. If you can't have faith to believe God and his word, you cannot please him. You can't do it. And in order to believe God, you gotta start at that place where you are a sinner. You are a sinner. Right now, you are a sinner. I am a sinner. Right now. Well, Brother Davey, you shouldn't be in the pulpit. Oh. Got news for you. There ain't a preacher in a pulpit anywhere in the world that's not a sinner. And if any of them tell you otherwise, they're lying. They've got shields of brass. But I got news for you. My shields are gold. My shields are true. My shields will last. My shields will never fade. My shield will never tarnish. For it is the very shield of God himself. It is Jesus. And I dwell in that body by faith. Because he said I could. Therefore I'm going to do it. If it hoodwinks the whole world, I don't care. If everybody in the world says, Davey, you can't be right. Brother Davey, you got to be wrong. If everybody in the world says it, I want to say, no, I know I'm right. I know I'm right. Because I believe in the living God. And I believe in the power of his blood. And I know that he can do it for me. I know he's done it for me. Now all I got to do is walk in it. All I got to do is walk in it. Amen. Amen. So you take that word. You take the word of God. And you believe it. You believe it. And remember, it's all in the blood. The power of God to save you, to heal you, to deliver you. Everything you need is in the blood. And the shield or the veil has been removed. So there's now no longer an excuse for anyone not to access it and believe it. Amen. I'm done. Wait a minute, we're not done. You got a song about blood I want to hear.
Where all the love I've ever found.
the Lord a cheer. The day is going to come when I'm going to put this veil off and put on another one. I don't know what it'll look like. I really don't care what it's going to look like. I know it's going to be better than what I got. But until then, I'm going to dwell in the veil that Christ dwells in. I'm going to be in His body, partaking of His goodness and His blessings. Amen. And if you agree with that, then go forward in it. And if somebody tells you, Lisa, you can't be right and the whole world wrong, you just tell them, go tell it to Noah. Amen. Go tell it to Noah. When the flood comes, they knew it. When the Lord returns, they're going to know it. Amen. All right.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you more evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you do service for Jesus, your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you?